Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Very pleased to be joined by one of the best in the business, and that is Mark Loganrich. Mark, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us back on the show again.
Yeah, appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me, too.
All right, so what was your thumbnail and as to how you looked at Saturday night now that you've had some time to absorb what you saw?
I really like the fact that they played an opening game against a Power 5 team. We'll judge what kind of Power 5 team West Virginia is in about 8 to 10 weeks. But you're still playing a full-throttle Big 12 team opening night, first game, and so you have expectations of this team going into that game, and I think coming out of it, they reached probably most of them. Drew Aller was as good as you could possibly have hoped he would be. Didn't really need any sort of superhero theatrics from your running backs. He kept them pretty fresh, a combined 23 carries. You know exactly what you have in your tight end, so the fact that I think there was, what, one or two targets to them and one catch simply means that you have that coming out of this game, that you can throw to them 12 times, you know, this week and the next 2 weeks when you start Big Ten play. And then defensively, if you felt like there was some sort of shakiness early against the run, you get the fact that it was a running quarterback, you're in, you know, a unique kind of look that Penn State really hadn't seen, and you probably hadn't seen much in training camp either than maybe a couple of snaps against Bo Pabula. But you held them to about, 140 yards rushing and 7 points, essentially, from your first team defense. Like, for me, the functional final score was 31-7 in that game, and that is, I think that's, you know, that's a win pretty much all the way around.
Yeah, I would say so as well. Something you look at in an opening game, and it was a problem in almost every game I watched. Penalties and turnovers. Penn State had one penalty. It was on special teams on a false start, and no turnovers in the game. So for the most part, in those two areas, they played clean.
It was an overwhelmingly clean game. I know West Virginia Neil coach or West Virginia coach Neil Brown mentioned about they must have blocked really cleanly not to have any holding penalties. Okay, fine. Every coach can say that there's holding on every play, that sort of thing. But if you needed to look for something to be critical of, the fact that you mentioned the one penalty was on special teams. Special teams probably had across the board the most things that would make you just the most things to have to fix, essentially. And I think that, to me, if you're going to come out of that game saying, this is an area that, for fans anyway, watching the games, like, special teams didn't have their best night. That's for sure. And special teams are one of those things that I think, from fans' perspective, I'm not talking about, you know, the coaching staff, but from a fan's perspective, you don't think about special teams until you do think about special teams. Right. You see, you know, a fair catch at the 5 or 6 yard line, 2 missed field goals, kind of a, you know, a short punt in one situation. The, you know, maybe the blocking into the returner, which negated a potential you know, personal foul on Caden Saunders, fair catch, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think, where the elements of cleanup come in. And for a team that wants to contend for a playoff spot, that's a bigger thing than maybe you would expect to come out of game. To be a playoff contender, you've got to be you've got to be running full cylinders on everything. That includes special teams. Mm-hmm.
I was on SiriusXM yesterday with Jason Horowitz and Ben Hartsock, and Jason brought this up, and he said it's been a weekend where a lot of things happen. You know, Utah beats Florida, Florida State beats LSU, Colorado over TCU. And this was before Duke beat Clemson. He said, how comfortable is Penn State to go about their business? And really, in some ways, do it under the radar, even though it was a nationally televised game, but other people are taking the headlines. And he said they probably have to feel comfortable, like, hey, we can just go about and do our work. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. James Franklin brought that up today.
Did he?
Basically, he said, and not in so many words, but he said, you can't take wins for granted.
Yeah.
And that's something, if you think about last year, the fact that they won five straight to finish that season and got progressively better against their schedule, it did, after the Ohio State and the Michigan losses, they did win games. Won five games, then they won the Utah game to finish 10-2. You can. There are times when you might not be able to come back from an issue. So that, it's curious you mentioned that, because I was asked a couple of weeks ago, what would be more important for Penn State fans this year, to go 10-2 and lose to Ohio State and Michigan, or to go like 10-2 and beat them but lose other games? And that was the point, I think, that was trying to be made. Is there something to be said for taking taking care of the schedule that you could take care of? It's, things happen. That final was 28-7 last night, Duke over Clemson. Things can go awry.
Yeah.
If you don't play the game in front of you. And that's so to come out, as I said, I felt like that was a 31-7 game. All in all, that is that's about as good an opener, I think, as you could hope for.
I realize they had four sacks in the game, but none of them were from the defensive ends. And there were points where West Virginia ran the ball. And I'll tell you, Donaldson's tough up the middle, and Green's quick to the edge. I want to give them all the credit in the world for that.
And their center was really – Zach Frazier was –
He is. He's a pro, isn't he? I think that's an NFL-caliber player.
He got leverage. He moved forward. He was something.
Yeah, really impressive player. But there's a stat I keep in my chart. I call it stop rate. And there were 11 drives in the game for West Virginia, and Penn State stopped them on 9 of the 11. And to me, today, there's a bottom line in college football. And to me, that's one of them, Mark, the ability to stop the other guy without giving up any points because of how wide open offenses are.
Yeah, and I think James Franklin had mentioned the fact about getting off the field. He felt like they should have gotten off the field more. I think still in the first half, West Virginia was 1-for-6 on third down. They converted a couple of fourth downs, which, the push play, that is essentially an unstoppable play anymore at either level of football, and the NFL or college. But they did get they got a few stops on third down, so they should have gotten off the field except for those two fourth and shorts. Chop Robinson was not thrilled with the game he played. He did mention something interesting about the fact, though, as not by way of excuse, but as an explanation of the thing, you practice a month through training camp, you can't touch a quarterback. Now you're asked to chase down a quarterback who is not a pocket guy. Chop can't tee off on this guy. He was elusive. He got outside them a couple of times, pretty effectively. So he's saying, the mindset too is you come in and it's either you've either got to get used to being able to hit a quarterback again, or you get so wound up that you haven't hit a quarterback, you're trying to do it, that you get out of your gap assignment. And that always brings me back to the thing that Manny Diaz says, is that the most important thing that this defense has to do, even with all its talent, depth, and everything, is gap sound and gap fundamental, being fundamental in their gaps. I think they lapsed a little bit of that on occasion. And, it's certainly repairable, though. I don't think that would be a trend at all for this defense.
So we talked about the correctable things. And, they're all correctable. Because, look, there's going to be a point you're going to need a field goal, not just to win a game, but also to extend the lead. So, that's an obvious one. They played a lot of people in the game. The benefit of doing that moving forward for a team that we all feel has some depth.
It's always a huge benefit. In particular, I thought And I know there's a lot of conversation surrounding this. It even came up again today about the, you know, Bo Prabula's touchdown. That was an enormous, I thought, and it was a great thing to be able to get him and that second team offense on the field. You mentioned about it needing a field goal. If you think about that situation, it's a two possession game, and West Virginia is taking the onside kick with 3.5 minutes left because they had missed two field goals.
Right.
So that's a three possession game if they even make one of them. If West Virginia, you know, recovers that onside kick, comes James Franklin's first team defense back out on the field with 3.5 left. So, you know, recovering the onside kick gets you the first team offense or the second team offense on the field, but situationally too, making those field goals gets the reserves onto the field even quicker. And that's coming back to the idea of getting fixes on the special team. That was, to me, that was big that Bo Prabula got to run that series. It was important that he got to specifically throw the fourth down pass, I think.
Yep.
Because he's got to run that offense. And in a situation, if somebody's going to run a defense at him that he's got to throw against, then he's got to throw against it. He doesn't give up a play. You can't ask players to give up plays just because they're in a situation leading like that. And for him to be able to get on the field, run a play, score a touchdown, essentially run a two-minute offense, there's a world of value for him and for the rest of that group.
One final question, Mark, with your experience of covering so many teams over the years, normally how many games does it take before you start to really get a feel for the team you're watching?
In Big Ten play, I would say it took even until you got into the Big Ten season, and that's been normally three games, right? Conventionally, they're playing three non-conference then going in. Last couple of years, that's changed with playing Purdue and Wisconsin to start the season. So they're making us reassess how we assess a team, because right off the bat, last 2 years, you had to assess them in a different way. Same thing this year.
Right.
I think it's different to assess a team that's playing West Virginia and essentially, you know, NBC Sunday Night Football kind of thing. That's the production it looked like they were going for, just moving it to Saturday, and assessing the team that's playing a MAC team or whatever other, you know, kind of bye game that there is. So I would, for me, this particular team, I'm thinking that we should know a little bit more about them after the first three. I would say the first Big Ten game too. The Illinois game will matter significantly. And then what kind of team is Penn State when it faces Iowa?
Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yep, good seeing you Saturday.